Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bob McKillop, coach of Davidson men's basketball, head coach. He coached, obviously, Steph Curry collegiately. Hey, Coach, Taz of the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Hey, wonderful to be with you guys. Thank you for having me.
That sounds good, Coach. Hey, so let's talk a little bit about Steph, man. How do you think, Coach, Steph is dealing with his injury? Did he look off to you last night? Just break him down for us.
Well, I thought he looked a little bit off with his rhythm. A couple of times there were backdoor opportunities where he could have thrown a pass or one of his teammates could have thrown a pass, but there was just no connection there. Clearly, he didn't shoot the ball very well from the three-point line, but he did get to the rim. And usually when he gets to the rim, it's an indication that he's got his explosiveness, he's got his quickness, but he did get there quite a bit last night.
He did. What about on – you mentioned the lack of rhythm with the three-point shot. You know, front end – hitting the front end a lot of the times on with those three-point shots. He's got an unbelievable, stroke. We know that. He's as fluid can be, the quick release. What about on his outside shooting, what you saw last night, Coach? He was 1 of 8 from behind the arc.
Yeah, you know, it's not the greatest picture you get watching on TV instead of being up there live and in person, but my sense is that he didn't get his feet squared the way he normally does. That's probably one of his best assets as a shooter, is his ability to get his feet set as he's releasing the ball. He's got such a great vision picking up the target, but also great footwork and connecting the feet to the floor so that they're balanced as he releases the ball. It looked a little bit off last night with that.
Coach, we're talking to Davidson men's basketball coach Bob McKillop. You know, Coach, when you look at this Golden State team, people have often looked at it and said, you know, it's almost unfair. I know it's difficult to do because your relationship with Steph and what he has done for your program, and obviously the relationship that that you've built with his family and their wonderful family and the like. But if you were a team going up against Golden State, right, how would you handle what they can do offensively with Steph, with Durant, with Klay Thompson?
Well, you got to make them take the ball through the net, first of all. And I thought Houston did a great job of that. They cut back on the number of transition baskets that Golden State gets from either steals, runouts, or rebounds. When Houston's making baskets, somehow it converts Houston into a pretty good defensive team, which I don't think they really are, but after they score, they become a lot more efficient. And, of course, it cuts down on the ability of Golden State to score in the open court. You know, one thing that was very evident last night, and this might be a minor point for some people, but the vision that Golden State had last night was not their normal vision. They always see the court very well and are very connected. I kind of alluded to that with a couple of backdoor cuts that they did not convert. But there was one point, I think it was in the first half, where it looked like Moses was going through the Red Sea.
Right.
As somebody drove to the rim. That it was incredible how open that court space was. And that seemed to be what Houston was able to do all night, open court space, because the connectivity that normally is such a big part of Golden State's defense just wasn't there last night.
Hey, Coach, if you don't mind, from a coaching perspective, I mean, talk about the job that you've seen Steve Kerr do balancing all this household name talent, this great talent that the Warriors have.
Well, he's remarkable that with as little coaching experience as he had coming into the league, to first of all taking them where they are, and he continues to have such an even keel in everything that he does. And to blend them into a cohesive unit like they are, to win the number of games that they have, what a remarkable statement he is making as one of the great coaches in the game of basketball.
You know, Coach, with success, sometimes, you know, complacency can settle in. Taz and I were discussing this. How about keeping that edge for a Warrior team? You know, we talked about Coach Kerr. Certainly the leaders on the team, Steph, play a role in that. How about the maintaining that thirst, that hunger, that drive? Because what we witnessed last night, Coach, what we all witnessed watching from afar, you know, Houston played like the desperate team. And because they were desperate, they had to win that game for this to be any sort of a series. They could not go back to Golden State down 2-0. How about Warriors with all their success remaining the desperate team and playing like it on the court?
Well, let's be very, very clear about this. Houston is far from being chopped liver. I mean, they won, what, 60 games this year?
65.
They're an incredibly gifted, talented basketball team. And after they got beaten pretty soundly on the first night, all the media were saying things, it's over, it's a 4-game series. Even Charles, I thought it was a very comical comment Charles made, that it was a 3-game series. But this is a team that won 65 games. This is a team that could score in bushels. To see the way Gordon was knocking down threes last night, there was nothing that could have been done. Complacent, not complacent. You're not going to stop Gordon from making those shots. And, of course, Harden's demonstrated that time after time. It's just a team that is very, very good. So to think it's going to go away because of one loss, no. So I think first look at Houston. And second of all, complacency. Well, you know, they got down Golden State. And I thought, again, the connectivity disappeared. And it wasn't complacency. You know, the announcers kept saying that the 50-50 balls were going to Houston, and they were, and they did play with a sense of desperation, but they're still a tremendous team that won 65 games.
Hey, Coach, so if we shift over to the East now, leave the West, let's hit on, Brad Stevens and the job he's doing, what the Celtics, and leaving Butler, and how great of a job is this guy doing?
Absolutely extraordinary to lose Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward and to play the way they're playing. And, you got to also realize that Brad's got a terrific staff, and one of them's one of our great New York friends, Jimmy Larranaga's son, Jay, who is outstanding in player development. And to see the way Horford has emerged, to see the way Rozier has emerged, my goodness. And then, of course, give tremendous credit to the way that Brad's motivating them, inspiring them, and, of course, Danny Ainge putting all this together. So the Celtics are the consummate team operation right now.
You know, Coach, I'm curious from your perspective. We brought up earlier on in the show Robert Parrish, a former Celtic legend, feels like Stevens is maybe getting a little bit too much credit. Stevens didn't get a vote amongst his peers in the coaches' vote, which came out a couple days ago, which surprised a lot of people. We've seen his former players like Isaiah Thomas, Turner, come out and say the best coach they've ever played for. What about the job that Stevens has done here and the amount of accolades that are coming his way? He doesn't seem to enjoy the accolades, wants to give all the credit to his players. But what about the credit that Stevens deserves for the job he's done?
Well, he's all about substance, not style. He doesn't promote himself. He doesn't rant and rave on the sideline. He's got this very cool demeanor throughout the game. That's his persona, and his team is reflective of that. But he's insightful. He's analytical, and he's incredibly hardworking in getting his guys to understand what a game plan is. And as we've seen throughout the season and now unfolding in the playoffs, he's got those guys clicking at a level that is the highest they're playing at. And you always want your team playing at its best as the season ends.
Hey, Coach, speaking of coaches, I got to ask you, as you know, the Raptors broke ties with Dwayne Casey. Were you surprised that Casey, after having such a great regular season, but then not being able to close it out again in the postseason, were you surprised they cut ties with him?
Yes, very much so. Dwayne has created a program up there, and it's just on the verge of becoming a culture. They're consistently successful, and to see the foundation that he has put in place. We actually exchanged texts after he was released, and he mentioned how difficult it is to coach in the NBA. And my goodness gracious, there's only 32 jobs, and You know, it's, I think, easier to be a senator in the United States than a coach in the NBA.
Especially, I mean, Coach, you know that, I mean, it's a star-driven league. And, you know, you can have great regular season success. Often as a coach and a player, you're defined by what happens in the postseason with those opportunities.
You know what? What I've learned over the last couple of years, which has become a real focal point of the NBA organizations, is the emphasis that they're putting on player development. And player development is not just shooting jump shots and dribbling a ball. And it's also sleep. It's also nutrition. It's also taking care of your money. It's also being in at the right time at night. It's all of those things that so many of these young guys never have a chance to assimilate themselves to because they're coming out early. And all of a sudden, they're in a superhighway of life and with all of these opportunities and money and glamour and fame, but they've never understood what it's like to really be a professional. So that's becoming more and more a part of an NBA organization. Find the guys and find the team of coaches who are going to turn our guys into professionals. And I think we're seeing that in Boston. I think maybe that was one of the concerns they had in Toronto. It's clearly becoming, I know down here they hired Berejo with the Charlotte Hornets, and I think that's why they hired James for that reason. And it's becoming the real buzzword in NBA development right now.
Hey, Coach, what about, I want to ask you, last one for me here. The kid at Oklahoma, Trae Young, man, a lot of, you know, a lot of comparisons to Steph. You know, and from their college game, what's your thoughts on this young man? How you think he'll transition in the NBA?
Well, I think it's really unfair to compare anybody to Steph because there is only one Steph.
Right.
The guy makes long-range jump shots and is terrific passing the ball, and all of a sudden it's the next Steph. Trae is superb. I think much like Steph, he's frail. He's light-skinned guy, and that immediately transcends into, oh, he's just like Steph. Well, I guess
you don't like the comparison.
Well, I think Trae went through a tremendous. No, I think he's tremendous.
Yeah,
he's going to be a lottery pick. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But here's Steph. He's a two-time MVP, and comparing somebody after 1 year of college to a two-time MVP, it's a pretty challenging thing to put on a kid's shoulders. And you could see that as that thing mounted from game to game, not only did he struggle, but also Oklahoma struggled. So that's one of the misfortunes of having those comparisons, is because sometimes it's a weight that you carry around. It's pretty heavy to look.
You know, Coach, you had a good year this past year, your Davidson program. You know, went to the NCAA tournament, lost to Kentucky. How's your squad looking out, looking for the next college season, which will be here right before you know it?
Well, we have a lot of very talented players returning. We have a great recruiting class coming in. We had three guys sitting out who were hurt. I think we have a chance to be very good. You know, we're in the Atlantic 10, which, you know, is a terrific league. And night in and night out, you're battling in front of great crowds and against very talented players. So we're excited about being part of this conference and moving forward next year with a team that's, we think, pretty experienced.
You know, Coach, final one for me is this. You made reference that he exchanged texts with Dwayne Casey. Obviously, you know, you're a well-regarded, well-respected coach in the coaching circles, college, pros, whatever level. I mean, you've done a wonderful job with that Davidson program. What about the unity amongst coaches of basketball and the bonds that you guys are able to build, the support staff? I mean, is there, you know, do you guys are out there supporting one another, college, pros, whatever it might be, reaching out, offering advice wherever it might need be?
Well, I think it's a competitive, very competitive industry, and people don't really show their cards very much. The unity maybe transcends divisions. So a guy that's a high school coach might have a great relationship with a college coach, a great relationship with a pro coach. For me, I'm just blown away by the collegiality that exists in the A-10. The coaches that we have in our league really root for each other, because we know that the better our teams play, the more bids we get to the NCAA tournament, the better our conference is. So I'm really thrilled with the collegiality that exists in the A-10. I'm not sure that occurs in all conferences, but I assure you it's what goes on here in the A-10.
Well, great to hear. Hey, Coach, we wish you Enjoy the rest of the NBA playoffs. We wish you continued success, and we appreciate a couple minutes this morning.
Always great to be with you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Coach.
You got it. Coach Bob McKillop.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.